Hello, everyone. Welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. My name is Kelly Swales, and I'm the web editor for Lab Medicine. Joining me today is Dr. Jian Chen. He's the attending physician for the Transfusion Medicine and Apheresis Department and director of the Clinical Coagulation and Biomarker Reference Laboratories at The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. He's going to talk with us a little bit about an interesting case that originally presented with a negative DAT. Thank you for discussing this, Dr. Chen.
Okay, thank you, Kelly. Thanks for the opportunity for me to present an interesting case. Let's start with this case. So this case is a 53-year-old man, previously very healthy and active. According to the outside hospital clinical notes, he likes hunting and fishing. He presented with abrupt onset of dark urine, associated with an episode of chills and a near syncope event. He went to a local hospital and was found to be anemic with a hemoglobin of 11 grams per deciliter. Both total bilirubin and indirect bilirubin were very high. Lactate dehydrogenase, also known as LDH, was also high. So based on his symptoms and lab findings, it's not difficult to make the diagnosis of anemia. Probably hemolytic anemia because of hematuria and elevated LDH and bilirubin. The initial blood bank workup showed a negative antibody screen and a negative direct antiglobulin test, DAT for short, also known as direct COM test. Peripheral blood smear was unremarkable. Importantly, no cytocyte was seen on the peripheral smear. So on his second day in the hospital, his hemoglobin dropped to 7.3 grams per deciliter. He received 2 units of red cells, but his hemoglobin remained the same. So there were no obvious sources of bleeding. So the suspicion was that he's still hemolyzing. Therefore, systemic glucocorticoids were initiated, but discontinued after the DAT test come back negative. At this moment, we don't have a clear diagnosis for this patient, except for presumed hemolytic anemia. But what is the etiology? This is a critical question because the treatment can be very different depending on the cause of anemia. In order to have further workup and treatment, he was transferred to our hospital. In our hospital, we repeated his labs and found his hemoglobin already dropped to 5.7 grams per deciliter. Total and indirect bilirubin were both markedly elevated. LDH was also high. His haptoglobin was very low. White blood cells were elevated to 25,000 per microliter. Reticulocytes were essentially normal. His serum reacts weakly with all the testing cells, but his DAT test was again negative. While we were still working on his antibody identification, the patient had confusion and altered mental status. He was transfused with 6 units of red cells. His hemoglobin initially increased to 7.1 grams, after transfusion, but quickly dropped to 5.1 grams per deciliter. We got a phone call from the treating hematologist at this point. Obviously, this is a complicated case with a long list of differential diagnoses. So let's play detective and narrow it down. First question, is this an immune or non-immune cause? Autoimmune hemolytic anemia can be a primary condition, but it's more commonly secondary to other conditions. For example, hematologic malignancies such as chronic lymphocytic leukemia and lymphoma, immunodeficiencies, some infections, and some drugs, and solid organ tumor. All this can cause hemolytic anemia. It sometimes occurs with other autoimmune disorders, especially systemic lupus erythematosus. Non-immune causes are relatively rare. These include environmental factors such as snake or spider bites, exposure to oxidizing agents and some metals such as lead and copper. Some infections, especially viral or fungal infections, can sometimes cause hemolytic anemia too. Other diseases such as liver disease, paroxysmal cold hemoglobinuria, also known as PCH, and paroxysmal nocturnal hemoglobinuria, better known as PNH, and a large granular lymphocyte leukemia can also cause hemolytic anemia. So this patient, a 53-year-old male, denied environmental exposure or recent infections. He was previously healthy, so he wasn't on any drugs. Bone marrow aspiration was performed, but the results were pending. As you can see, no single factor, as we just discussed, really stands out. Based on the patient's history and lab findings, his hematologists were concerned about a malignant process or infectious cause. They were not sure about immune-mediated hemolysis because his DAT was repeatedly negative. As a result, his treatment was limited to supportive measures only. No steroids or intravenous immunoglobulins were given because of the concern of infectious cause, which would only worsen with immunosuppression. When I first looked at his antibody workup, my impression was an autoantibody, except for the negative DAT test. We suspected that this is so-called DAT-negative hemolytic anemia. And one explanation for negative DAT is that all the antibody-coated cells have been hemolyzed. Therefore, it gives you a negative reaction. But we don't have any ways to confirm this. There are also some other testable causes of negative DAT, like drug-related. This patient was not on any medication, which made drug-related negative DAT unlikely. The presence of a big antibody in the serum that reacts with all testing cells tells us two things. First, this antibody is free floating in the blood, meaning the amount of antibody is beyond the absorption capability of red cells. Second, it has low affinity, meaning a low binding capability. If this is truly autoantibody, a more sensitive measurement might yield a positive result. Our standard DAT procedure includes a rigorous washing step with an automatic cell washer. In an effort to prevent washing off the cell-bound antibodies, we used unwashed cell suspension according to a modified DAT protocol as described in our report. As we know, the purpose of rigorous washing is to remove non-specific binding. So we set up more controls to ensure the lack of non-specific binding. The final results confirmed our hypothesis. The patient's DAT was 2+ positive, while all the negative controls remain negative. We reported the DAT results as positive, and the antibody workup was signed up as warm autoantibody. The patient was immediately started on intravenous glucocorticoids and intravenous immunoglobulins, IVIG. He responded quickly, and the serum LDH and the bilirubin significantly improved, and his hemoglobin increased and continued increasing after day 2 of treatment. He was discharged with normal hemoglobin after 1 week of treatment. To summarize, this is an idiopathic warm autoantibody-mediated hemolytic anemia case presented with initially negative DAT. With a modified DAT protocol, we were able to confirm the diagnosis and help the clinician treat the patient appropriately. On the last note, this case also highlights the importance of creative thinking from the lab. Nobody would blame the lab if we stopped with a negative DAT and so-called inconclusive antibody workup by following the standard protocol. but they won't help this patient. In this case, going the extra mile resulted in a life-saving change. Thank you for listening. Please let me know if you have any questions or comments.
Thank you, Dr. Chen, for talking with our listeners today. I think that this case will be helpful to our listeners. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you.